This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. So I have a new six-month-old son. His name is Asa. And the idea that one day he could be grown enough to be out of my house is kind of unfathomable. Like, I'm going to start crying just talking about it. It makes me that sad. But I know logically and rationally that one day he's going to have to go. Like, one day I'm going to want to push him out of the nest because he needs to be an adult. He needs to be a grown-up. And that happens with adult children. You want to launch them into the world. But right now, a whole lot of kids are staying at home. And so today we're going to talk about why there are so many adult kids still there. Joining us now to help discuss it is Michelle Singletary. She's a personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
So the census tells us that there are more than 22 million adult children still living at home with their parents, which is a number that's way up over the last decade. Why so many?
Well, I think a combination of things. People are coming out of college. They don't get the jobs that they expect, paying the money that they need or want. Lots of kids are not going to school because it is so expensive. I mean, right now, to launch yourself, it's very expensive to get the down payment for the apartment and transportation and all the things that you have to do. And so that's why a lot of young adults are at home or returning home.
And what really does it take, if you were to break it down, what does it take to launch out into the real world?
Well, from my perspective, I think that they ought to have a really good emergency fund that will tide them over for at least 6 months while they're sort of getting themselves situated. And that would include all that it costs to run their household, not just the rent or mortgage, transportation, food, utilities, that cell phone that they can't part with, and probably the student debt that they're carrying, all of that. And to have a really good cushion. And in addition to that, I advise people to have what I call a life happens fund. And that's for when things in life happen.
You just go wrong. Yeah,
that's right. Things go wrong. And you want to have a cushion so that you don't touch your emergency fund while you're taking care of the things in life that happen.
Now, I know you have your personal experience with this, and I want to ask you about that later. But first, let me introduce you to Carl Orense. He's 20 years old. He lives here in Los Angeles. He has a full-time job as a certified nursing assistant. Carl, hi.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about your living situation right now.
Well, right now I live with my dad. I lost a job, so I was forced to move back in with him.
So tell me about living with your dad. What's it like?
Yeah, I live with my dad, my stepmom, and my half-sister. There's some benefits to it, I guess. My benefits mainly are that I don't pay rent for now. And most of the money that I do earn working as a CNA mostly goes to me and my hobbies or my needs.
And so what are those hobbies and needs? How do you spend the money that you earn?
Well, needs like cell phone and then, well, that's actually like the only needs I have.
The only
like,
real need is
like,
that
because,
phone.
Because like food is free at my dad's house, yeah.
And so tell me about when you're living at your dad's, where do you sleep? What kind of space do you have that's your own space?
Actually, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but the apartment's only a two-bedroom, one-bath.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in the living room.
You live in the living room?
Yeah.
And so you said it was a little embarrassing. Why?
Oh, well, you know, I'm 20 years old. You know, I'm supposed to be trying to get my independence now. So, you know, like it's just that you still live with your parents kind of thing.
And so, Michelle, jump in any time here, but what should Carl, as he's thinking about moving on, what should he be thinking about?
Well, he should have a plan, and he sounds like he has loosely a plan.
Yeah, it's a loose plan, honestly.
Yeah, I'd like you to do more budgeting. Like, you kind of glossed over the numbers. So how much are you bringing home, would you say, on a weekly or monthly basis?
On a monthly basis, with one job, I bring home about $1,200.
Okay.
That's already with the tax taken off.
So that's net.
That's net.
Right. And how much of that are you saving to move out?
Well, right now, I'm not really saving much to move out. It's because I'm in the process of buying my own car first.
Okay. Right now, you have a bicycle. Is that right?
Yeah, right now, I just bike around.
Right,
Except when it's raining. Oh, my God. The other day, I had to, like, bike in the rain. Going home.
But you see where I'm getting, Carl. You know, you got to take that $1,200. So you're allotting some for the car. And then how much of the rest of it are you putting towards actually moving out?
I'm just saying, saving about like $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
mm-hmm.
for like moving out, it's like it's not going to happen anytime soon yet. But right. maybe give it like about 6 months to a year before I move out.
Now, what about your parents? Are they asking you to chip in? Do you chip in for food or rent, anything like that?
Well, I've asked my dad for a favor to not charge me for rent yet because he's already starting to think about like charging me for rent. So,
is he ready for you to be out of the house?
Oh, he's been ready.
So, Carl, what I think you could do to head that off, because I don't think he should charge you right now unless you plan on setting up shop in his house for a while.
No.
But why don't you come up with a plan, put it on paper, and say, Dad and Mom, this is my plan. I'm paying off the car so I have transportation. And for the next 6 to 8 months, I'm going to save about, you know, 95% of my take-home pay to build up a down payment and emergency fund. And when I reach that, then I'll be ready to launch. And is that okay with you? Because my plan is to do that. I can't do that if I have to pay you rent. And if I think if you put it on paper and show it and let them know that you have a plan and show them the statements, the bank statements that you're building up that money, I think they might pull back and not hassle you so much right now.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd do that?
Yeah, my dad's a understanding guy, so he'll probably go with it also.
Yeah, and if it's not, tell him, you know, give me a call. I'll talk to him. Because I'm not one of these people that think that you ought to shove a young adult out right away. It used to be that young adults stayed in the family home really until they got married and they were well established.
Yeah.
And so you're young, you're starting off. Where would you have gotten the money to move out on your own? I think it's perfectly okay right now because you have a plan. Now, if you were just laying around and not really doing anything, then I'm like, you got to go. But that's not the case with you. You've gotten some experience. You've gotten, you know, some training. And so you are on the path. So I think if you, like I said, if you show them where you're going, they're likely to go along with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Carl, this means no eating out with the friends.
I love Korean barbecue, so.
Make it yourself at the house.
So the cell phone you're okay with, though, Michelle? You can keep the cell phone?
If I try to pull that out of his hand, you know,
what does it say? I don't like, my friends, like,
you know, cold, dead hands. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I'm going to let him have the cell phone, but everything else got to get cut.
Well, Carl, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
we appreciate
it.
If you have questions or comments, you can find us online. We're at marketplacemoney.org. We're also on Facebook. And coming up, we're going to talk about the costs of having an adult child at home when you're the parent and maybe how to encourage them out when it's time. Stay with us. This is Marketplace Money from APM. We're talking about adult children living at home. And we've got Washington Post's Michelle Singletary with us. Michelle, I've got another question for you.
Sure.
So this one comes from a listener from Facebook. His name is Thomas Amendola. And he wrote in, he actually has a good paying IT job. He's in New Jersey. He makes somewhere in the range of $40,000 to $50,000 a year. And he has decided to live at home to save money to buy a house. So he's saving $18,000 a year to buy a home. And I wondered what you made of that and what you made of his parents deciding it was okay.
You know, if his parents are in agreement and they're getting along, I think that's a great idea. Because think about that. If he saves enough, and I would save enough to put, you know, a huge down payment to almost paying the house off, and he's not coming back after that. I'm a different kind of parent. I'm not one of these that, oh, they've got to be on their own. You know, I believe that I have a home. I have people come stay with me while they get themselves together. And I'm okay with that as long as they have a plan. And he has a really good plan.
Now, I saw a study from the National Endowment for Financial Education that said about a quarter of parents with adult kids at home actually go into debt while they're having their kids at home. And it does sound like this is a situation that can put a big financial strain on parents. How does that work and how do you negotiate it as a parent?
Well, there's lots of adults who come home and there's not a plan. They just come home and they use up their salary. They're going out with their friends. They're still shopping. All the bad habits that they had out on their own, they bring right back to the house.
Right.
And the parents are afraid to say anything. They don't charge them rent. And that's when they have trouble and they go into debt because they're still subsidizing that adult child. I have parents who know who are paying the cell phone bill for their adult child who has a job.
Wow.
That's not the situation I'm talking about. If you've got a trifling adult child at your house, who's not doing all the right moves.
Kick him out.
Kick him out.
Well, I want to bring in our next caller right now. His name is Daryl Meekins. He lives in Halsey, Oregon. Two of his adult children are at home. Daryl, thanks for being with us.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about your situation.
I have my youngest who has pretty much continuously lived at home. He moved out for a short time.
How old is he?
He's 23.
Okay.
I think. I've got seven. They all blend together. And then I have another child that was out on his own for a long time, but had an accident and now is handicapped. But he went to college and got a degree. And I told the kids that I can't help them financially much when they go to college. So my way of helping them is to allow them to move back home so they get free room and board.
Now, so you have two adult children at home right now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how does it affect your family and your finances?
Profoundly.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a constant outgo. My oldest has graduated from college, but he hasn't found employment yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ongoing expenses there. There's expenses that occur every month, but then there's occasional expenses that are pretty high. For instance, he needed some legal assistance a while back, and so I took out a loan for that. And he's attempted to pay me back as best he can, but without work, you know, he can't. Eventually, I have no doubt that he will eventually, but it just makes it difficult. Probably on a monthly basis, I'd say an extra $400 to $600 a month for utilities and food and transportation.
And are your children helping you out at all? Do they help pay any of these bills?
They help as they can. My youngest just got a job, and he's starting to pay his out-of-pocket expenses, his insurance and gas and those things. So that takes quite a load off. He hasn't started to buy food yet, but he doesn't eat much. But he does help out around the house. And even though I think it would be good for my kids to be on their own, I will miss their help when they leave. But that's, you know, a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
So are you and your wife ready for them to be out on their own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have been for some time. Actually, we had about 6 months when all of our kids were gone and on their own and doing well. And we got over the empty nest syndrome pretty quickly and learned to enjoy our time together. And my wife really enjoys having her private space, you know, her kitchen to herself and the run of the house and so on. And we miss that. So we're anxious for them to get on their own. But we're not so anxious that we want them to leave before, you know, circumstances are good for them.
And so does it cause stress in the family? Do you and your wife fight about it ever? Do you and your kids fight about the situation ever?
Occasionally, but most of the time it's not the kind of thing we fight about. We're a pretty close family, but there is a level of stress that attends when you want to go in the front room and after a hard day at work and sit down and watch a TV show while you eat dinner and that sort of thing. Then you've got to negotiate, well, this show will be over in half an hour. Can you come back then? And, you know, that sort of thing.
Now, when you think about the last 39 years of having children, it's a big number when you add up the costs of having that many kids, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think I could even come close. Yeah. I read the studies where they show that, you know, it costs $250,000 to raise a child. And I look back at the money I've earned and I think I spent more than I've earned.
Really?
It seems. We don't have a lot in assets at this point. Our house is about it.
Oh, Michelle.
Yeah, that concerns me because you really need to focus on building your retirement and what's going to happen once you and your wife, if you're working, stop working. And it sounds like you've focused so much on launching the children that you've forgotten yourself. And the problem is, if they're still sort of getting themselves situated and it comes time for you to retire, what will you do then? And if you have all your assets tied up in your house, how are you going to have the money that you need for medicine and health care and all those kinds of things? So I need you to switch gears a little bit, not a little bit, but a lot, to focus on yourself as well. And it's not selfish. I see two parents who have been unselfishly about their children, but I need you to be a little bit selfish right now and really kind of focus on getting your resources stocked up for when you retire. Otherwise, you're going to be going living with them, and you don't want that.
That's our joke, that when we retire, we'll just move in with the kids. They can pay us back.
Except they're going to give you the back room with the TV that doesn't half work.
Exactly.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Daryl Meekins is a father of seven from Halsey, Oregon. Now, Michelle, you have been patiently giving us your advice, giving us your good thoughts. But I understand that you've actually lived this yourself.
I did. My sister came to with me with her daughter and my nephew. So he's about 18 years old. I didn't know he was coming with the package deal, but that's
Surprise.
Okay. Yeah, I knew my sister and my niece were coming. And then all of a sudden, my nephew, I was like, why do you have a bag? And so he ended up staying with us for about a year. And, you know, he didn't really have a plan. And he didn't know what he wanted to do. So he would get up in the morning and open the newspaper and for about an hour or two, look through the want ads and decided that he'd look for a job and there weren't any jobs.
And that was it.
And that was it. So that wasn't going to fly with me. So after about a week, I said, okay, well, you now owe me rent every month. He's like, well, I don't have a job. How do I owe you rent? Welcome to the real world. And I did that to motivate him. Had he had a job, I probably wouldn't have done that. So then after about 2 or 3 months, he owed me 3 months worth of rent and he quickly realized I was not playing. And so he seriously look for a job, got a job. Then we started to add in the cost for utilities. Then we started to add in the cost for food because I wanted to simulate for him what it would be like in the real world without his auntie helping him out.
So you just ramped up those costs.
I did. And I based it on percentages because you spend about a third of your, you're supposed to, about a third of your net income in housing. So that's, so I knew what he made because you have to show me everything. When you live in my house and as an adult, I need to know what you make. I need to know what's in your savings account. I need to know everything. So I knew what he made. I charged him a third. Then I added in what a percentage for utilities and then food. And I'll never forget when I told him he had to start helping towards food. He says, what? That's not included in my rent? And I said, well, you know, when you move out an apartment, why don't you go down to the apartment manager and ask when he's going to deliver your bag of groceries and see what happens. Oh, I'll back up and tell you this really quick story. So 1 month he came and gave me his rent in cash and he was a dollar short.
$1.
$1. And I'm counting my rent, you know, because I count my money. And I said, where's my dollar? And he says, oh, I can't believe you're going to try to get me to pay your dollar. And I said, you better go get me my dollar. And this is why I did that. Because if you pay your rent or mortgage late and short, it's as if you didn't pay it and you're still going to be charged a late fee. And I wanted to drive home that message to him.
Now, did he get your dollar to you?
He got my dollar. He found pennies and quarters somewhere. And I told him, don't look at my cushion. But he gave me and he brought me my dollar. He did.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for all the good advice.
You're so welcome. If I could just say one quick thing, you know, I know that it's in this economy, there are lots of adult children returning home, and it's very stressful. And some parents feel like they've been a failure because their kid's not out on their own. But I don't think you should feel that way. And even if they come back in their 30s and 40s, you know, just look at it as that you're just helping them. And I do believe to whom much is given, much is required. And it's okay as long as you communicate and have a plan.
Michelle Singletary is the personal finance columnist for The Washington Post.